Let's open our Bibles this morning to John chapter 3 and verse 16. For those that are visiting, this is something the Holy Ghost inspired us to do a few years back. And we read this every service, any kind of service. We read it, John 3:16, and we invite you to read along in whatever translation you may have. And I'm going to read 16, 17, and 18. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And I like to read Psalm 119:130. It says, the entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. And I like the Amplified. It just says, the entrance and unfolding of your words give light. Well, that's revelation. Who does the unfolding? Who does the revealing? God does. And so he unfolds and he reveals. And it gives understanding. When we have it, it gives understanding, discernment, and comprehension to the simple. And that's us. Amen. I call myself simple because I don't know everything. And we're learning. Amen. Let's go over to, I'm going to read a few scriptures. Let's go over to 1 John 1. And starting in verse 5, 1 John 1 and 5, look at a few scriptures here to start. And it says, in the King James Version, it says, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If you look at verse 9, if you continue down, if you continue down in this chapter, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So you can see in the prior verses, it says, if we walk in the light, if we walk in the light, not your neighbor. So it's what you see and what you know. And then if you continue down in verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that means that what you see is what you're going to be held accountable for. What does that mean? That means you can see what's right and what's wrong. And when you violate that, when you say, well, I'm just not going to do that, and you know to do it, then you need to repent. And that's what it says here. When you see, when you see something. Well, when you don't see it, you're not held accountable for that. See. But when you see it, and who's going to be the one to reveal that? It's going to be God through his Spirit is going to reveal and unfold to you what's right and what's wrong. And he'll do that either to you directly in your spirit, or he'll reveal that through inspired teaching. Through the teaching of the Word of God, you'll begin to know what's right and what's wrong. in your conscience. And so we are responsible for what we see and walk in it. Now, let's turn over to John 13, and let's look at verse 33 and 30, or actually 34 and 35. John chapter 13 and verse 34 and 35. It says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this love, shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." I like the, there's a few translations. The Amplified says, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another, if you keep on showing love amongst yourselves." And the Message says, "This is how everyone will recognize that you are my disciples, when they see the love that you have for each other." So you can see even in John 3:16, Jesus didn't just say, "I love you," from heaven. He sent his Son to this earth in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. That's what Romans says. That he sent his Son, so he demonstrated it, he did it. And so we are to love as he loved. What does that mean? Not just in word, but in action, in doing something. We're to do the same thing. So we are to walk in the love of God as he did. So if we walk in love, we're walking in the light, which is what we just got done reading in 1 John. If you walk in the light, then you're going to walk in love. You're going to walk in the love of God to everyone. Now, before I jump, I'm just going to collect my thoughts here and just listen inside, because there's so much to share today, and I don't want to get ahead. Turn to Philippians chapter 4 just for a second before we start where I would like to start. But Philippians chapter 4. And look at verse 6 through 9. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 9 through 9 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report." Well, whose report are we going to believe? His report. So you can, you already have a measure right here as to when you hear something, when you see something on the television, when you read it, you can measure it right here. You can say, okay, is it a good report? Is it just? Is it pure? No. Click. Why you sit and entertain it? You already know I shouldn't be watching this. I shouldn't be listening. Turn it off. Because as a man thinketh, so is he. So is he. Who's the he? You. As a man thinketh, so is he. The he is the real man, the spirit man. What you allow in is what you're going to begin to think upon and to begin to form opinions about if you don't measure it against the Word of God. So, verse 9. It says, good report. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. So he's already telling us what we're to think on. Those things which you have both learned. I want you to pay close attention to this last verse here. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard. And what's the next thing say? And seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. You are not going to get all the revelation that you need from just hearing. It is not, I hope, you know, it says faith comes by hearing. Well, the unfolding of God's word is going to come, he said it right here, from seeing something that he did. Didn't he not? He just said it right here. So we're to do the same thing. He just said, those things which you have both learned, so he taught, and received, we received, and heard, and seen in me. So right here we have an example that light came from learning, receiving, hearing, and seeing. So this revelation and understanding, or let me put it to you this way, your understanding of God's word is not going to just come from reading the word of God. It's going to come from seeing something in the lives of other people. And you know, we've heard this, actions speak louder than words. Sometimes our actions, what we do, has more weight than what we say. And so when you act out and you live this thing in front of people, they're going to see the love of God in you. So that's when we talk about that this love that we have is seen amongst us. Not just heard, but it's seen. See? So faith, as we can see here, you won't get total light from just teaching. It's going to come from the doing. How many know that? How many married folks do I have here? How many got total revelation about marriage just because you said the vows? And how many? Let me see how many hands there are. None. That's what I figured. There was a great revelation after you got married about things that you thought you knew. So understanding light in a particular thing comes from the doing. You took a step of faith. You know, I've done this. I know I like sports. How many of us sit back to, oh man, what was he thinking? Why didn't he catch the ball? What's wrong with him? Well, somehow you sitting there with your Coke or your iced tea have a whole different perspective than you being in the game. Right? There's a lot of folks that think, man, what's wrong with the pastor? What is wrong with that dude? What's wrong with him? What is he thinking? Well, I'll tell you, it was a great revelation to me becoming a pastor. Because sometimes I was like you. What on earth were they thinking? I'll be honest. I'm like, what was that? Well, there was a great revelation when I became one. How many of you said, I know, because I was there. All of us have been there. What was my parents thinking? What? You know, when you're young, you think you know it all. What's wrong with my parents? Well, when you became one, there was a great revelation. You start saying, boy, now I understand why mom and dad did what they did. See, so my point is that light in a particular area is not just going to come from reading and teaching. It's going to be by you doing. When you became a parent, additional light. When you got married, additional light. You can read all the books you want. But there's just some things you're not going to know until you get in the middle of it. And so the same thing. We can sit by the wayside and say, well, I'm going to love them from over here. No, you're not going to get to understand what the love of God truly is until you love someone who hates you. Now we're talking. See, because that's where the devil is now. He wants people to hate, and he brings up all kinds of stuff for us to hate on, which are personal. And we got strong opinions about it. They shouldn't do that. That's wrong. We're going to protest. Oh, really? Okay. So you got drawn into a conflict. Where is that in the Bible? Because he already just got done reading in Philippians these things we're to think on. And so we're to love. And we're not going to know the love of Christ to the depths and the degree that we should until we begin to love those that hate us and love those that despitefully use us. And also, faith is a choice. Faith is a choice that you make. Yeah, faith comes by hearing, but once you see, what's the next thing that has to happen? I got to do it. I have to do it. He didn't say, you know, we've all been there. I don't want to do that. I really don't want to do that. I'm sorry. I don't like this. I don't like going through it. I don't like it. He didn't say you're to do it whether you like it. He just said, do it. And you will understand the love of God. And so he's already given us his written word. You know, well, I want to be led to do that. Well, open your Bible to Luke 6 and read it. He revealed it. So we don't have to be led. He's already told us you are to do this, this, and this. And Deacon Tony was reading it this morning. Why don't we go over there? He was reading from Luke 6. And it really, you know, Pastor Sarah will do this as led and on occasion. She will read from this when somebody gets on the air with her and says, you know, you just don't understand. My husband did this. He did this. He said this. And she said, okay, do you have your Bible? Yes. Turn over to Luke chapter 6. And usually by the time she gets done, you hear, yeah, but about 30 times. Yeah, but. Yeah, but. Yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but. And she said, can you read? Yeah, but. And they're stuck on the hurt. They're stuck on what somebody said or did to them, and they're not embracing that. But you still have to share with them what the word says. But Luke 6, and when you start in verse 27, it says, but I say unto you, which hear. Love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. Boy. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you, and unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if you love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them of whom you have hope to receive, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, he says it again, but love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. Boy, this was a great lesson for me. I had to walk through this. And it hurt in the natural. A brother in Christ came to me with a need. He was in a desperate fix. And he said, "Oh, okay, you know, can you help me out?" "Sure." I emptied my bank account. I did. I emptied it. Helped him. And he said, "Hasta la vista, baby." And I kept helping him before he left. And I had unloaded just about everything I had. And he said, "Goodbye." Oh boy, let me tell you, I wanted to hurt somebody. I did. In the natural, at that time, I wanted to exact something. But because it wasn't a little bit of money, it was a lot of money. And so the Lord taught me something through that I knew it wasn't right down here. That's why I say the witness of the Spirit down here, there was just something wasn't sitting right in my spirit. And I said, "Okay, what's up? Okay, Lord, I'm here. What's going on? I'm not comfortable." He said, "You're going to have to let it go." I said, "I don't want to." I did. I'll be honest. I said, "No, I don't want to. I'm upset." He said, "You got to let it go. Let it go as seed. Just let it go. Let it go." And so as I did, I'd be coming in. I'd say, "Father, in Jesus' name, I let this go." And I did it through grit teeth. But I did it because I heard the Spirit of God. And I knew that He wanted it to do something in my life for my benefit, not for that individual. See, that's between him and God. But between me and my fellowship with God, that's what was important. I had to hear him and obey. He's going to judge me for my attitude. He's not going to judge me for something that person did. That's between him and God. But my attitude towards another brother in Christ, he said, "You have to let that go. Let it go." And I said, "Okay." And so I did. And I can tell you the amount of money that was taken. I've recouped that over and over and over and over again. And then some. But I can tell you, if I hadn't let it go, it would have engendered a root of bitterness, and you don't even want to consider what could have happened because it wouldn't have been good. So we have all kinds of choices that come up, and I think what we're sharing here is that we need to watch and be led by the Holy Ghost. And as when He reveals to you where the correction needs to be made, you need to do it immediately. And I didn't like it. And I'm sure there's things that you don't want or like to do. But when He tells you, you know God is good. And God is light. And everything that He does in our life, whether it pinches or not, is for our good. And He's trying to get good to us. And we have to make the corrections. So, when you continue this verse here, it says, "But love ye," I'll continue in 35 again, but love ye your enemies and do good, lend, hoping for nothing, and your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the Highest. For He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. He's kind unto them. The Lord is. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father is merciful, also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Now, verse 38, give, and it shall be given unto you good measure. Give what? Give mercy. Give forgiveness. And the same measure that you meet that out, it's going to be measured back to you again. So if you want to say, no mercy, then to the degree that you exact that, it'll be measured back to you again. The same degree that you judge another person, it will be exacted back to you. Because that's what the scripture says. Give what? You want to give judgment? It'll be given back to you good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into to your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. That's good or evil. You exact no mercy, it'll be meted to you the same way. And that's why the Holy Ghost said, up here, judge not, you shall not be judged. Or he said here, be therefore merciful as your Father is merciful. Has he been merciful to us? Oh my gosh. For things that we should have gotten judged for, he was merciful. He didn't hold it against us. And so the same way, we should exact mercy the same as our Father, and not judge, and not condemn, and forgive. And he said, give the same way that your Father does, and it'll be measured back unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. And when you continue in verse 39, it says, and he spake a parable unto them, can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. Now, this is always an interesting verse here. It says, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye? I'm just saying. And you can't perceive the railroad beam in your own eye. See, that's what we're talking about here. But perceivest not the beam that is in your own eye. Right? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye, thou hypocrite. That means he said you're a hypocrite. Cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil, for of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. It's always interesting to me, and you know, we laughed about what we perceive things and how we judge things, or how we have opinions about things. But it's a whole different thing when we're walking through something. And it's the same thing. We don't know. See, when we go to judge another person, even if it's as close as a husband and wife, you don't know what your wife or husband sees or knows. And when you judge something, now I'm not saying that there shouldn't be communication, and I'm not saying that it shouldn't be talked out at home, those issues that need to be talked about. But when you judge, he should have done this. Well, you're not God. And you may not know what that other person understands or sees. And so we're to What does it say here? We're not to judge. We're to forgive. Now, I can tell you the same way that you extend mercy is the way you're going to receive mercy. And so what I am saying is that we need to examine and reflect on each one of ourselves individually as how we're conducting, what we're saying and thinking about situations in our life. Because we really don't know, and the love of God that will exact peace. First of all, you operate in the love of God, you're spiritually minded. And it says it's life and peace. And so as we operate in the love of God and we don't judge, we're going to walk in life and peace. And I also realize, because we've all been there, we've all experienced this, that when we walk through something, we have a whole different perspective on that issue. When you walk through it, see, when you haven't walked through it, you say, well, has that ever happened to you? No. So how do you know? How do you know what I walked through? Well, when I walk through it, you have a whole different perspective and compassion about it. See, when you've walked through something, most times that person usually is looking for a way to help other people that are in that situation rather than be a judge. Yes. Well, you should do this, and you should do that. Why didn't you do this? Well, see, a person that's walked through something can say, hey, you know, God helped me in this way. Maybe you want, here's how he helped me. See, that's being an example. That's being something as inspired by the Holy Ghost. I'm not telling you go and do that for just do to do. I'm saying as you are as inspired by the Holy Ghost, those kind of inspired things help Christians grow and mature. And we're what? And what we just got done reading in Paul says, what you've learned, what you've heard and received and seen in me. See? So, anyways, you get the point. As they say, you get the point. Well, I gave you that example. This was in John. He talked about the Pharisees and so forth. We shared that. Why don't you turn to... let's go. We're in Luke. Why don't you back up to Matthew 7. Matthew 7. One of the things that I was meditating on, just from some things that we shared in the last lessons, 2 Corinthians 5:17 said, and of course we know the scriptures, but in the King James, in verse 20, of course, we know it says, we're a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. But in verse 20, it says, now then, well, verse 19, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing or holding against them their trespasses, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. We're to be a reflection. We are ambassadors. We're his mouthpiece. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. The Good News Translation says, here we are then speaking for Christ, as though God himself were making his appeal through us. You know, when you think about that, when we get involved in these distractions in this earth, we are ambassadors, and it's the scripture says, it's as if God is appealing to the world through us to be reconciled. How can we do that when we're involved in conflict and hatred? That's not being a reflection of God. How can we appeal to the lost? That's what's going on now. You'll see people from churches get out and say, you know, this and that and so forth with placards. I know up in Pennsylvania, there's a family up there. He and his wife are both professional doctors from the educational field. And he's a university professor, and so is she. And he said the greatest thing that has ever happened to him in this church, I'm talking about up there, is reading John 3:16. He said it is the greatest thing, besides coming on Sunday and receiving the word, that one thing has changed him. He said because up there he teaches at East Stroudsburg University. He was a professor at Penn State many years. He moved there. His wife has been a professor at ESU for many years. But he said they had, because there's a public road that goes through the university, they had people, which was their right, to protest. And they were church people condemning lifestyles and calling people all kinds of names. And he said that one scripture, he just stood back and said, no love. There's no love in this. So it's not of God. So that one thing has changed his heart to see people through the prism of God's word. And so we need to do the same. How can we appeal on God's behalf to a lost world when we're embracing the world's conflicts? How do we do that? You can't. You're getting drawn in. It's a distraction. And so I began to, just me personally, reflect that. John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. See? Scripture says we hear his voice, and we follow. We follow him. And the message says, my sheep recognize my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. So, one of the things that I began to reflect on during through these scriptures was that as Christians, you know, the Holy Ghost has a way of exhorting. I remember a few weeks ago, our sister Gladys Brooks, who's an intercessor here at the church, she's on staff. We were up in Pennsylvania, and she says, I hear the Holy Ghost saying this. Don't nurse it. Don't rehearse it. Disperse it. And I'll reverse it. Well, you know, if we're not careful, we can nurse something, and we can rehearse it, and we judge, and we don't disperse it. We don't walk in the love of God, and God will reverse it. He'll reverse the feelings. He'll reverse the mind, the soul, if we stop nursing hurts and not stop nursing things that have been said or done against us, because all who will live godly are going to suffer persecution. Every one of us. For standing up for Christ and living a certain way and talking a certain way, we're going, as they say, take the heat. That's just the way it is. And so, why don't we turn over? I told you to turn to Matthew 6. Let's leave that and go over to Romans chapter 2. I'm looking at the clock. Romans chapter 2. Says, therefore, thou art inexcusable. Boy, that's a strong word, isn't it? Thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. Now I'll say this, inexcusable does not mean unforgivable. It just means you can't come up with an excuse. Inexcusable doesn't mean you can't get forgiven. See, if it was unforgivable, it would have said so. And we have some scripture over in Hebrews that says this is unforgivable. This is inexcusable. So there's no excuse. And when it says condemnest, when it says here in this verse, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. Now that Greek word means to give judgment against, to judge worthy of punishment. That's what that means. It means when you judge something or you condemn something and say, well, I'm just saying. That means you are exacting punishment. Oh, I could turn on every news channel right now and you can see all the various things that go on, all different kinds of stories, where they judge punishment. Don't they? Oh, yes, absolutely. And we are not a judge. We are not to judge. We're to love and let God be the judge. And so what I like is a few other verses here, the Amplified. Therefore, you have no excuse or defense or justification, O man, whoever you are who judges and condemns another. For imposing as a judge and passing sentence on another, you condemn yourself. Because you who judge are habitually practicing the very same things that you censor and denounce. That's why Jesus, when he said, you who are without sin, cast the first stone. They were involved in intimacy somewhere. They were doing something they shouldn't have. That's why they tipped on out. They didn't cast a stone. Because they judged, and they were habitually doing the same thing. They censored. See? So that's why when we judge, when we get over into judging, the scripture is very clear. It just says here, you're going to do the same thing. And you say, no, I'm not. I wouldn't do that. Well, you're deceived. Because it says up in the scriptures, I'll read it to you. You don't have to go there. But it says in James, it says, do not err, my beloved brethren. Or I'll skip down. It says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So when you're a hearer and not a doer, you deceive yourself. So somewhere along the line, we're going to, and the scripture has examples of various things about judging. I'll tell you what, let's read this one and we'll pick up on Wednesday. Go to John 12. John chapter 12. Here's just one of many. It says in verse 1, "Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with an odor of the ointment." Now, look here. "Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" Look at the next verse. "This he said, not that he cared for the poor." See? Hypocrite. He was a judge and a hypocrite. See? "Not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein." And I think some of the translations said he dipped. I mean, he took from the bag. So, because the money wasn't sold, the ointment wasn't sold, it would have ended up in his bag. See, that's what he cared about. So he wasn't caring about the poor, but he said, I care about the poor. Hypocrite. See, that's what the scripture says. "Then said Jesus, Let her alone, against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always." Isn't it interesting? Even Jesus didn't judge him here. He didn't condemn him. He just said, "You have the poor always. Leave her alone." See? And we ought to do the same thing. We ought not judge somebody, even when they do something stupid or act silly. We just look on the inside and let the love of God operate in us. The time is up. So, let me just read this one scripture as we close. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. Verse 3 and 4. It says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Well, we are soldiers. And I believe if you look over, back up even in chapter 6, in the book of Timothy, it says we're to fight the good fight of faith. So we are soldiers for Christ and ambassadors. And so as soldiers in the army of the Lord, this is saying that we are not to entangle ourselves with the affairs of this life. The New Living Translation says, "Endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus." Soldiers don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life, for then they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. And I like the Amplified. It tells us no soldier, when in service, gets entangled in the enterprises of civilian life. And the God's Word translation, "Whoever serves in the military doesn't get mixed up in non-military activities." That's another way of just saying, be spiritually minded. Just another way. You can take all the other scriptures and look at them. It just means don't be carnal minded, be spiritual minded. See? Praise God. Amen. Amen. I'm going to finish. But for me, it's a good reflection, because I see, this is me personally, God is unfolding and revealing to us, and has been, many facets of His Word. And I see that the devil is heightening things. And we need to be conscious of his wiles. And we need to make sure that we keep our minds on spiritual things and not get caught up in these earthly affairs. Because when you do, you're getting over into just exactly what he wants you to do and get sidetracked. I read something. This was on Dr. Hilton Sutton's website. I thought it was poignant, and I made a note of it. It says, on New Year's Eve 2001, Dr. Sutton proclaimed that he sensed by the Spirit of God that 2012 was going to be a time for a turnaround. And he said, it's time, this is what he said, it's time for the body of Christ to turn around from being distracted to becoming focused in accomplishing each of our unique ministry assignments here on the earth. And I thought, well put, well put. So we need to make sure we're not being distracted from our earthly assignment. That's where me. I'm reflecting. Am I distracted in whatever my earthly assignment is here? Could be all good, but it could be a distraction. You see what I mean? Praise God. Amen. I'm just sensing. You know, sometimes I'll say this. If you have a question or a comment, I'll entertain it. But most times, I believe that what is being shared is very clear to us. I believe that. Now, I shared that this morning. That Deborah was sharing something, Carter, and I said, yeah, we all think it's clear because it's clear to us. And you can get over into judging even that. Well, they should see that. Well, maybe they don't. You could teach it. How many have been here, you've heard something 100 times, and you saw it on the 101st time? But you've heard it. You've heard it. And then all of a sudden, bingo, revelation. So what we think people should see, a lot of times they don't see. And it's progressive. And I was sharing this in the book of Romans. When you look at the first chapter, it says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Verse 17, for therein, this gospel, is the righteousness of God, what? Revealed from faith to faith. That's progressive. So it's revealed to you, but from faith to faith. So you're not going to see everything. And what I see, you may not see. And as all we are required to do is to put it out, teach it as directed by God. And it's your responsibility to receive and then do something with it. Isn't that so? It's not my position to say anything about they should get it, they shouldn't get it. Hey, the sower sows the word. That's it. And then you're to receive it and do something. And when you see it, you're held accountable. Not by me, but by God. See? And so that makes it real easy, doesn't it? Makes it real easy. You just, as you're directed, you put it out, you have people receive it, and if they don't receive it, it's on them, not the delivery boy. Amen. But if there is truly something you didn't understand, I'll entertain a few questions. But just at this point, if that's the case, if not, then we'll close up, as they say, and dismiss.